can. I've been battling some kind of sickness. Today's the best I've felt in the last 3 days. Becky, you always tell me to slow down. And every time I get sick, I slow down. I veg on the couch. But if I'm not sick, I'm going. You know, because I'll rest when I die. That's when I have time to rest. There's a lot going on. So anyway, I spent some time on the couch, and I finished up all my book reports for the Alliance. So now I've got all 8 book reports done this last weekend. So now I'm on to the papers, and I got signed up for a polity course for the Alliance, history and polity, you know. So exciting things happening. So, you know, just keep going, keep plugging along. But while I was resting and recuperating and, you know, going over the 40 days of prayer, you can go to God's Word and you can find a number of prayers that Paul wrote, that David wrote, that Nehemiah wrote, right? And you can be enriched by those prayers. I mean, it's just so, like, it's like a, when you read the prayers, it's like you can almost feel their emotion when they're praying to God. And it brings it all over me, right, when I read those prayers. And I'm like, oh, man. And sometimes I send them out to you guys, right, in text message. I said, hey, read this, you know, be encouraged. They're encouraging. Nehemiah, it's encouraging that he took time to pray for 4 months before he went to talk to the king. So last week we talked about prayer as worship, right? Prayer as worship. Today we're going to be talking about prayer as kingdom partnership. Prayer as kingdom partnership. And Dallas Willard said this: you can't think correctly about life or the church without first thinking correctly about the kingdom. You cannot think correctly about life or the church without first thinking correctly about the kingdom. One of the things that we talk about in counseling all the time: what is the condition of your heart? You know, your sin. Take two, 1, 2, 1, 2. Can you hear me? Can't hear me. Hello? I'll switch to the, oh, there we go. Hey, good morning. All right, Dallas Willard. All right, think correctly about the kingdom. What is the condition of your heart? Last week we talked about how we give our praises to God, such as hallowed be your name, or bless the Lord, O my soul, in psalms. That was the first part of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, right? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's in Matthew 6:10. That is the part that we are here to focus on today. We will walk through scriptures looking at prayer as kingdom partnership by being kingdom-minded. We're going to go through the passages of Mark 1:14-15. That's going to be praying for our missionaries. Luke 10:17-21. That's going to be looking at healthy churches. The first one is kingdom partnership by being kingdom-minded. That's Mark 1. Praying for our missionaries is Luke. And then healthy churches is Matthew. We see God's kingdom through his story. The church made up of followers of Christ is God's kingdom. People should be able to see God in action through us and in our churches. Are we praying for opportunities to be his kingdom in our communities? This is a prayer God promises to answer because we are asking for his will to be done. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and just ask that, you know, the Holy Spirit take over. God, I just ask that this sermon would be filled with wisdom. It would be filled with truth. God, we ask that the Holy Spirit would just take over and I could get out of the way and just let your will and your word speak to the people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so this is the first point. Praying to be kingdom-minded. Praying we are to be kingdom-minded. Mark 1, 14 through 15. Mark 1, 14 to 15. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." Notice here, Jesus said to repent and believe the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus was saying now is the time to take action, and Jesus was to start that process. He came as servant king to be the savior of the world. For Jesus was the priority. He preached about the kingdom often. If you look at Luke 8:1, this is Jesus. Soon afterward, he went on through the cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. Jesus was going around being kingdom-minded, right? If you go back to Mark, now, after John was arrested, notice that Jesus said, I want you guys to understand this. Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel, okay? I reiterate that because we know that Jesus came to die on the cross to be the Savior of the world. He is saying, that is the time. Now is the time. The kingdom of God is at hand. I am going to do the mission that God has asked me to do, being the Son of God, being the Savior of the world. And he was going around proclaiming the gospel. He was proclaiming the good news. That's what the gospel means, good news. And we know, after studying the book of Mark for almost a year now, that Jesus was sharing the gospel. He was sharing love with people, right? He was being kingdom-minded the whole time. Not one time do we see that Jesus was not kingdom-minded. He was wanting to establish that kingdom on earth. Jesus came to establish a perfect kingdom that was broken after the creation and the fall, right? So before Jesus came to die on the cross, and you go back to the very, very beginning from creation, right? There was not a thing called kingdom partnership because there was a kingdom partnership. God was walking with Adam in the cool of the day. You know, they would walk with God. And we know that God made man in his image, and it was perfect, and he placed him in a beautiful Garden of Eden, right? And he said, do not eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. And then we see a snake. This is Genesis 1:3, right? So Genesis 1 is the creation. Genesis 3 is the fall. This is where the kingdom partnership is broken. This is where sin entered the world. This is where death entered the world. This is where sickness entered the world. Right? Genesis 1:3. A servant comes to Eve and he says, did God tell you to not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Did he really say that? And Eve took and bit the fruit and then gave it to her husband, who was right there. He could have stopped it. He could have said, yes, God really did say, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But we know that they took and ate of the fruit, and they did not die right away, because Adam lived to be 990-something years old, right? But there was a spiritual death immediately. And that's what Jesus came to die for. that brokenness between us and Jesus, or us and God. Jesus is the mediator between us and God. Kingdom partnership. Sin ruined mankind, but Jesus came to reconcile man back to God through redemption. If we are praying correctly, we ought to be praying that people will receive the good news, the gospel of Jesus, and become redeemed. Go to Colossians 1, 13 through 14. Says, he was delivered. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. All right, that is the good news. That is the gospel right there. If you want to share a verse with somebody, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. What's the kingdom of darkness? Who's the kingdom of darkness? Satan, right? And Jesus came to deliver us from that by being the Redeemer. And all we have to do is accept the gift of salvation, and it's a free gift. Nobody can earn your way into heaven. Nobody can buy your way into heaven. It's a free gift. In whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins is by being washed by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus was that perfect Lamb of God. He came and took away the sins of the world. That is the gospel. And if we are praying correctly, we're praying for our local missionaries, right? We're praying for Fish, as he is now a local missionary that we send out to Cleveland. And we should be praying for that relationship with Bo, right? We should be praying for Bo's family, that they would have open hearts and open minds to be able to receive the gospel that Fish is so adamantly trying to get them to understand. Brother Tim, he went over to Kurdistan, there you go. And he was out in the streets sharing the gospel with the locals. And I asked him how it went, and I'm not at liberty to tell you exactly how it went, but let me tell you something. The Lord is moving in that man, all right? He is not afraid to go over to another country and tell the gospel, because he understands Colossians 1, right? That there is a Redeemer, and the forgiveness of sins is only through Jesus Christ. If we are praying correctly, and if we're being kingdom-minded, if we're praying for the kingdom of partnership, we will be sharing the gospel with all those around us without fear, without being afraid, without trembling. But I think the church has gotten off the path that it's the pastor's job to share the gospel with people. It's the pastor's job to do that. No, it's not. It's everybody's job. Jesus was He was God, and he came down to share the gospel. So if Jesus, being God in the flesh, came and shared the gospel, why can't we? We got to be praying correctly that we're kingdom partners. We got to be praying. Fish, I sent that text to you because that just hit me like a ton of bricks. You are a local missionary going over in Cleveland and sharing the gospel. So I pray that we're praying correctly. You know, we can't be bitter that you're always going to Cleveland. It's fine. God has you on a mission right now. Fulfill the mission, brother. Praying correctly. I think we also pray. We're not praying for kingdom partnership. We're not praying for people to receive the gospel. We're praying for healing all the time. Nothing wrong with healing. Nothing wrong with praying for healing. But when we realize that people are dying and going to hell every single day, we got a problem. If we receive the redemption, if we receive salvation, and it's a free gift, why aren't we sharing that free gift with those around us? We will also be praying for the ones who are being sent out in other parts of the world planting seeds. So my second point, kingdom partnership is praying for our missionaries. Luke 10, 17 through 21. And I apologize. I have a Bible that is brand new because my Bible that I preach out of is left at home. So I feel like I'm in Bible drill right now, trying to find all the passages real fast. Luke 10, 17 through 21. Praying for our local missionaries. Luke 10, 17 through 21. Being prayer, praying in partnership with the kingdom. The 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." And I use that passage because the return of the 72 being sent out, and they had dominion over the darkness, but Jesus said to rejoice in their, because their names are found in heaven. We should pray for the lost so their names can be found in heaven as well. So many people are dying and going to hell, and we are, as Christ followers, are to go and make disciples. That's Matthew 28, 18 through 20. So remember Donnie Mason, just a few weeks ago, he came and he said he spent 16 years in Russia to gain a little bit, right? He worked for 16 years, long hours, he said, long, tedious hours. And he felt like it wasn't going anywhere. But he did make connections. He did reach some people for the gospel. If we're praying for our local, for our missionaries, we're going to be also praying for those who are lost around them, right? So that the 72 came back, they were filled with joy, right? I think Donnie Mason has some joy in his ministry. Michelle Gruber, she's going back over to the tea house, right? She loves being a missionary. She loves going and sharing the gospel with foreigners. But our job here, as we're sending them out, is to pray for them and for the lost around them so that the gospel will be received well. And Jesus said, "I saw Satan like fall like lightning from heaven." Well, we all know how fast lightning strikes, right? So that was pretty darn fast that Satan fell from heaven. I mean, God just threw him out. And while we have we as Christ followers are able to overcome that, we have to be careful. I think that's what Jesus was saying. You can have joy, but be careful and be glad that your name is found in the book of life or in heaven. Some of us are called to be missionaries. Some of us are called to be pastors, teachers, evangelists, prophets. Some are called to be missionaries. And they give up their entire life to go over. They pack up everything. They sell their house. They sell their cars. Some sell their cars. Some sell all they have to go over. Right? You guys know one of my favorite missionaries is Jim Elliot. And he knew that he was called to be a missionary. You know, he could have been a local pastor here in the United States. People wanted him because he was so good at sharing and communicating God's word. He just was brilliant. But he said, "No, I know that I'm supposed to go somewhere." He was called to reach a people group that was almost impossible to reach. He felt the need to go and evangelize in Ecuador. Even though he died trying to reach the Aka Indians, right? He died because he was speared to death. Even though he died, look at what his wife Elizabeth said. "Teach me to treat all that comes to me with peace of soul and with a firm conviction that your will governs all." She was able to say that even after her husband passed away. She was saying, "If somebody comes to me, I want it to be your will, and I want to be obedient." The whole tribe after Jim Elliot and his buddies were killed, speared to death, the whole tribe got saved. They all accepted Christ because they said it looked like there was 10,000 angels above them. And Stephen and Curtis Chapman did a CD, and he talked about, there was a song there that talked about Jim Elliot, and they had one of the guys from the tribe come and do in his own tongue some to the music in that song. That's what happens when we pray for our missionaries. Maybe it happened that people get saved in the way that we wouldn't see them get saved. I mean, it came out of something horrendous. Five guys lost their life for a tribe to get saved. Jesus gave up his life so that we could have salvation. The good news is Jesus rose again on the third day. Jim Elliot, well, he went to heaven. The whole tribe that killed her husband received salvation because the missionaries prayed. They fasted, they wept for the lost. If we do this at our local level, healthy churches will be everywhere. If we were to stop, we fasted and we prayed for the lost, healthy churches would be everywhere. So my third point is kingdom partnership through healthy churches. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. Matthew 5, 13 through 16 says this: "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp, but put it under a basket, but in a stand, and it gives light to all those in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your God who is in heaven." We are called to be salt of the earth, a light on a hill. Are we still a salty church, or are we just going through the motions? Are we still a light into this community, or are we dim? Are we going dim? Are we growing dimmer by the minute? We've been praying for restoration in this church. We've been praying that we continue to be a beacon of hope in this community. I've been praying for unity in this church, that we could be unified in this body so that we could go out and be in the community and share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ with those around us. Because God is in the restoration business. He's the only one, I think, who could make us salty again. Now, that salt that they're talking about, I mean, once it's lost its taste, you got to throw it out. But we could pray for restoration. Are we reaching the lost and having... Something happened here to my notes. I love printers. It messed up my notes. All right. salt of the earth, right? We are to be salt of the earth. How do we, before we get saved, before we turn to Christ, before we accept Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, before we say, God, forgive me, our salt is no good. It's tasteless. We cannot be a light because we don't have the light inside of us. But once you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you say, God, forgive me. I repent of my sins. I want to turn from these things that I'm doing that are bad and harmful and are not kingdom-minded, and I want to do good. I want to be on the path of redemption. I want to be on the path of sanctification, which is a lifelong process. You're never fully sanctified until you go to heaven. Sister Helen just got her full sanctification last night. Then, once you accept Jesus, you become salty. You become a light into the dark world. And it is dark. It is dark out. Because Satan still roams around the earth, him and his demons. And he uses them in ways that we cannot fathom. There are people tormented by the demons and the devil. Tormented. They do all kinds of evil stuff. Jesus came to save us from that kingdom, the kingdom of darkness. Why do we want to pray for, why do we want to look at the 40 days of prayer in this sermon series and the second sermon, prayer as partnership of the kingdom? For the sake of the gospel. That's why. We want to partner with God, not in a partnership as a business, but as heirs of God's throne, as reborn sons and daughters of God, to reach the lost. That is the whole reason why we come to church, is to learn and grow, to bear one another's burdens, right? The Bible says we're to bear one another's burdens, which we don't do very well either. We got to bear one another's burdens, equip the saints, and send them out. Send them out, right, Fish? You're going to Cleveland. We're sending you out to go to Cleveland to be a missionary over there. We're sending missionaries overseas. But each and every single one of you guys are local missionaries in Greenville, Ohio. Barb with the Pregnancy Help Center, you're a local missionary right there. And those people are dealing with darkness. And I don't mean those people. I mean people who are hurting and suffering. They deserve to hear the gospel. Francis Chan said something the other day. I watched a sermon on about what he said. He said, I don't care if the pastor is a good speaker or not. I don't care if they're coherent necessarily. What I care about is, are they on their knees praying? And if you don't have a guy who's on his knees praying, then we got a problem. Nehemiah lowered himself on that stool, right? He brought out that stool. He lowered himself in humble submission to God. That's Francis's point. Are we lowering ourselves in humble submission to him, to God, to be partners with the kingdom? Because we all are commanded to go and share the gospel. Matthew 28:18-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Right? Verse 20, Steve can quote it really well. All that I've commanded you, right? There's more to it. So when we think about prayer partnership, we want to pray for our hearts to be kingdom-minded. We want to pray for our local, our missionaries, and we want to pray for healthy church, a healthy church. And a healthy church will do what I just talked about. I wasn't planning on being real long today. I'm almost done. If you guys go to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Go to verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is the gospel, the good news. It's because of God's grace. And it's a free gift. It says here, right here, it is a gift of God. He's holding it out. He's holding it out. All you have to do is accept it. You can't pay it. Can't save yourself. It's a free gift. The alliance, right? Jesus Christ, our Savior. He came and saved us from sin, the bad things we do. He died on the cross and rose again on the third day. And the Bible says that if Jesus would not have risen from the third day, then our faith is futile. But we know that Jesus rose again on the third day because they can't find his body. If you go and you look at Abraham Lincoln's body, his body will be in the tomb. If you go look at Muhammad's body, his body is in the tomb or wherever he's buried. But if you go to Jesus' tomb, it's empty. Savior. Sanctifier. That is the process of becoming Christ-like throughout the rest of your life. After you become saved and you return and you repent from your sin and you accept Jesus as Savior, then the process of sanctification starts, which is the process of becoming holy, becoming more Christ-like. And it's a lifelong process, progressive sanctification, right? So Jesus, our Savior, Sanctifier, Healer. Well, Isaiah 53 says, by his stripes we are healed, right? What are we healed from? Sin. We also believe that if elders come before the church and anoint somebody with oil, now it doesn't have to be any kind, it could be olive oil. It doesn't have to be special oil. And we pray for healing. We're going to trust that God's will be done in that healing part. Because I tread carefully on this one. Because sometimes we could pray for healing and somebody dies, right? They end up dying. It's God's will. But we believe in Christ our healer. So Savior, Sanctifier, Healer. And we know that he's coming again. Revelation 22:12 says he's going to be coming like a king, right? Jesus is our coming king. And that's the gospel. If you guys don't understand anything else, maybe you understand the fourfold gospel. Savior, Sanctifier, Healer, and coming king. If you can explain those very well, and that's the DNA of the Christian Missionary Alliance. That's what A.B. Simpson wanted. He wanted to be able to send out local missionaries, and he was a missionary. He was a local missionary in New York, and he was sharing the gospel with the Irish immigrants, right? He believed in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And it's not of your own doing, it is the gift of God. So you cannot boast. He was saving Irish immigrants, and he was bringing them to church, and that church said, we don't want those people here. What if God were to bring all kinds of people who are addicted to different things in this church and fill the body, this building with all those people that are addicted to things? What would that look like? Would we love them, or would we tell them we don't want them here? And if we're praying kingdom partnership, we will say we want them here. That is the gospel. That is what I stand on. I stand on the word of God. I stand on Jesus as our Savior, sanctifier, healer, and coming King. And maybe you're here today and you never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you want to know more. I would love to walk through the Bible with you. I've got plenty of guys around here and gals. If you're a lady and you want to talk to a woman, I would encourage you to talk to whoever you need to talk to get, you know, to receive Jesus as your Savior. It's so vital that we pray every single day. Even after the 40 days of prayer is over, we never should stop praying. We should never stop praying that God would do his will, that we are in the will of God. I'm going to ask, Brother Fish, would you come up here, stand up here? I'm not going to come near, but if you guys would pray for Fish, because I feel strongly that he is a local missionary being sent out, and I would like to have some guys come surround him, and I'd like to pray over him as he goes to Cleveland and share the gospel with those around him. So if you feel comfortable, come lay your hand on Fish, and let's pray over him as prayer as partnership. And if you guys feel led to pray, you guys can grab the mic down there. I'll close this out up here if that's okay. No need a mic? You're going to talk loud? All right. Father God, we just want to lift up Brother Mike. God, thank you so much for his heart. Thank you so much for his willing to make disciples. God, we just pray for those relationships up in Cleveland. God, we know that you're always at work through the Spirit. We ask that the Holy Spirit be watering the seeds that he's planting. Let them take root and let them grow so that, you know, he can witness to them and they receive the free gift of salvation. But God, even if that doesn't happen, but he's being obedient, he's being willing to share, we know that your word does not return futile, it does not return void. God, thank you so much for his heart. Thank you so much for his willingness to go to Cleveland. And God, we just ask as he travels back and forth from work to home, that you keep his travels safe and that you always bring him back to us because we need him here too. But Lord God, we want to be able to send him out correctly. Thank you for this group of men that came and prayed over him. And God, even if they didn't say a prayer out loud, you know what they were praying in their heart. And I just pray that you receive those prayers immensely. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Devin, I think that's a good stopping point. We'll go ahead and go into the next song, and then I'm going to let Brother Gary close out the service.
Surely goodness, surely.